Hi, beautiful people. Hi. So we're just doing audio. I'm not gonna lie. I've been going through it, and I just don't have the energy, and I feel I have been inconsistent, and this is just something that I feel is my burden. And it's hard because I really want to do this. I really want to come on here and speak my mind, but it takes so much out of me to set up everything and to risk recording and hoping to God that the camera doesn't like stop recording in the middle of me not knowing. It's a one-person project, so there's just so much stress there. So please forgive me. I just ask for your grace as we are changing things up. I'm gonna test this out, and my plan is to be a lot more consistent, and I think this will be a lot easier if I can just do this because there's nothing expected of me but to come here, plug in some things, and sit down and talk to you. So, as always, I don't have, visual stuff, so there's no lighting or anything, but my dogs are here, literally laying on the bed behind me. So, if you hear barking and stuff, like, please forgive me. I'm gonna try to pause in between if something like that happens, but I just apologize for your ears. And then any other background noises, of course, the mic is actually decent, so it picks up things sometimes. So I apologize. I know I owe you guys a lovely story. And I will still give that to you. My plan is to still share that with you. Unfortunately, the person that was gonna, I mean, you guys already know, my sister was gonna be a part of that, is not probably gonna be a part of that now. So I'm trying to figure out how to go about that. While I would love to unload all of my past trauma last year on you, I am actually gonna talk about something that is weighing a lot heavier on me today. We have a counterfeit Jesus, my people. And before I continue on, I want to acknowledge that I am not here to judge anybody. I am not here to tear anyone down. I'm not here to fight. I'm here to tell you the truth. Because I will not be responsible. I will not be responsible for souls being condemned to hell because I didn't open my mouth because I was scared of what you were going to think of me or if I was going to lose you because joke's on you. I'm losing people all the time because of this. So I'm going to tell you the truth. And what I ask of my listener right now, whether you know Jesus Christ as your savior or not, I'm going to ask you to simply listen with an open heart and an open mind. And you're going to have to think a little bit bigger than what you're used to today. And I'm going to ask that you will just go along with me as we go through this, as I share my thoughts, and that you would just agree for the time being of this, whatever amount of time I'm sitting here talking to you, that the Bible, the holy written word of God, is real from the beginning to the end. It is the truth. It is alive. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is our weapon. This is the Lord's word himself from his mouth, from the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Because that is the only way you're going to actually consider anything I'm talking about. Because we've got an issue out here in the world where people want to pick and choose parts of the scriptures that are true. And then we want to ignore the ones and say that they're not relevant, they're not real. And I'm going to ask you to just try this with me. Please. For your sake. I'm just asking you of one thing. So, I'm going to start off with how this all started. God brought someone into my life, a dear friend, and gave me the heaviest burden I've ever had in my life for someone. I literally need grace because I might cry a little bit, so please bear with me. I've cried like every day. It's not been a good time. And this person has confessed to me that they have had this belief ever since they were a kid that all paths, all religions somehow lead to God. Therefore, everyone will find their way to God. Everyone will make it to heaven. So, my problem here with this belief, I have multiple things here. First thing, what's the point of Jesus then? What's the point of the excruciating death that he went through on the cross? If there are other ways, if Jesus is not the only way to God the Father, to salvation, then why did Jesus have to go through that? We'll come back to that. My other thing is, sorry, I decided to take my clock down because I realized that you guys could probably hear that. But anyways, my second point, if all paths and all religions lead to the one and only God, then what is the point of sharing the gospel? Why did Jesus tell us the Great Commission to go out and therefore make disciples of all nations? Basically, this belief contradicts everything in the Bible. So if you are a Bible believer, but you think all paths lead to God, I challenge you to really pay attention right now. Because my friend, there is someone in this world that is trying to deceive you and keep you away from God. Do you guys know your good old pal Satan, the world's God, little g God of this world, hates you? Do you know he despises who you are? Even if you're not a believer, he hates you. He is not your friend, and he never will be. I don't know how much deception is out here, but I'm learning it's pretty bad. Because a lot of people are denying how awful Satan really is. I have been in literal arguments where people are defending Satan because they would rather me blame them for who they are and what they're doing than blame Satan for doing it through them. What in the world? Like, where has this come from? Like, he's not your friend. He is called the enemy, the adversary, for a reason. John 10:10 says, "The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I, Jesus, have come that they may have life and have it to the full," or have it abundantly, depending on your translation. Those three things are exactly what Satan is about. He wants to steal everything from you. Your family, your marriage, your friends, your job, your money, everything. And he wants to kill. He wants to kill your joy, kill your hope, kill your aspirations. And even wants to kill people. Why do you think murder is so rampant? Do you think that's just human nature? It's not just humans, people. It's not. And I know it's scary. My friend, I get it. If you could hear the story of what I went through in October, you'd understand. The demonic stuff can be unsettling. But here's the truth. Satan took 1/3 of the angels, the angelic beings that were in heaven, he took them with him. And they are present on our earth today. They are tormenting. They are horrifying people. They are possessing people. They are oppressing people. They are here. I think it's Ephesians 6. I just have the numbers written down, so forgive me. Here's what Ephesians 6 says. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. We are not fighting each other, human to human. We are in spiritual war every single day. If you have a close person in your life who is an unbeliever, Satan hates the light in your life if you are the believer. And he does not want your unbelieving friend to be around your light. Because that means your friend might find freedom. I had a devilish thing told to me. I was accused of something recently. Someone I really care about, that I have done so much for, told me that it's like I have religious psychosis. Because all I care about, all I do, all I talk about has to do with God or is about God. So therefore, because I believe the scriptures, because I believe the God-given truth from his mouth himself, I am dealing with religious psychosis. And then to make it even better, I was accused of being in a cult. Because I have spiritualized, because I have asked the Lord to show me the truth. People just don't want to accept reality because that means they're wrong and they have to change. Christianity is the only way to heaven. Other gods are literal demons. None of these other gods have risen from the dead. Oh, and Jehovah's Witness and Mormon, all those things, all the knockoff Christianities, there's one little piece in there that's not truth, that makes it not reliable. Romans 10, 9 through 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. My friends, that is it. That is the only way. That is the only salvation there is for you. I'm going to continue with the truths about Satan. John 8:44 says, for you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. In 1 Peter 5:8, we are told to be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He ain't your friend. He's just not. He will give you everything in this world that you want, but I promise you, my dear, you will be empty. You will lose yourself. Something that I see happening in Hollywood and with people with names. Matthew 16:26. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Do you understand how dear and precious this life is? Do you know why? This is simply a blip compared to eternity. But what you do here matters. And I know I've said it, but I'm going to bring it up again. This whole dang argument about God sending people to hell and all this nonsense. Why in the world? Please make this make sense to me. Why would a good and loving God, a good and loving Father, say, I know you don't want me on earth, so I'm going to force you to be stuck with me for eternity? Because that's all it's about, guys. God loves you so much. And I know that's like overdone and you've probably heard all your life and it's annoying as crap. But do you really understand the weight of that? That God loves you so much that he could not handle spending eternity without you. So he sent his son as the ultimate sacrifice. And I get it, if you don't know the scriptures, if you don't do your studying and actually go read the Old Testament, which I've been guilty of until recently, the past few years, God has really opened my eyes and shown me why Jesus had to die. But he did all of that because he wanted to spend eternity with you. But if you choose to not spend time with him here, if you don't want a relationship with him here, then he is going to give you exactly what you want. Complete and soul freedom from God. But do you know what that actually looks like? For an unbeliever, this is the closest you will get to heaven. This is the closest opportunity you will have to get to God. Hell is not just a place of burning fire and orgies and getting drunk and drugs like all these people claim, some party. Hell is a place where God does not exist. We have access to God here. His presence is allowed here. That is why there is good in the world. That is why we have hope. That is why we have peace. That is why we have joy. That is why we have good things. There will be no such thing in hell. That's what makes it hell. Complete separation from the holy God. No good, no happy, just agony. And you're telling me you would rather have sex with whoever you want, get drunk and throw up your guts, do drugs and end up on the streets, than have a relationship with your creator and your maker? Is that really fulfilling? You're telling me that's worth it. That's really worth it. I wish people could understand what life looks like when you really give yourself to Christ. It's hard no matter what you do. But you know what I have? I have hope. I'm not crippled by my circumstances anymore. I'm not searching for guys to fill a void that no one was going to be able to fill. I'm not out partying every weekend because I need to feel something. I'm getting up in the morning even though I'm stressed and I'm honestly just bogged down. I have depression symptoms, but they don't control me. Because it's life. It's part of the battle. But you know what I have greater than any of that? Like, the biggest thing? I have a friend. You know, I broke down before the Lord again today. I've been doing it almost every day, but... And I just sat there and I cried. And the sun was shining, and I was sitting in my car in a parking lot. I just finished doing my readings for the day because I'm going through the Bible in a year. And I sat there and I'm like, God, it's gonna be okay. Because you win! You have the victory! Satan is defeated! He will be thrown into the lake of fire forever! There will be no more bad! No more sin! No more sadness! And all the things I'm feeling right now will mean nothing. Because I will be in your glory, in your presence forever, and I will feel the love of God in ways that I didn't know were possible. And you're sitting here with me right now. You're my friend. And I've lost so many friends. I've heard people tell me they're not going anywhere and be gone the second Jesus became too much of a problem. I've had family turn their back on me. Because I'm too much. But Jesus? He'll sit with me for hours and hours and hours. And listen to every one of my thousand thoughts that I have. And he doesn't judge me. He sees me and my heart, and he says, you're still enough for me. I don't know if I'm ever going to get married. But my husband is the Lord. He is my friend, my husband, my rock, my foundation. He is literally every title I need. And when I was married, when there was a man that was making it his goal every day to just ruin me, and I also want to point out that that was Satan, not just him. Do you know there were nights that I didn't know who to call? And I was laying literally on a bathroom floor because I could not get up. The anxiety, the fear, the depression, the suicidal thoughts that I would feel would paralyze me. Do you know who was there? Only Jesus. My husband had given up on me. My family had practically given up on me. His family way definitely gave up on me. My own sister couldn't even be there. And this wasn't a one-time thing. I went through that regularly. And I'm not doing some sob story. I'm telling you this because I want you to hear who Jesus really is. He was the only one that was there. And that is what I'm saying, guys, is this life that you think is worth it is not. You are missing out on the promises of God, the promised land he has for you. You are missing out on his blessings. Because not only does he want a relationship with you, he wants to bless you. He wants to give you so much. He has a beautiful plan for your life that you cannot have if you are not submitted to him. I'm going to continue talking about who Jesus is. John 14:6, going back to our discussion about all paths, all religions leading to God. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Acts 4:12, "And there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." 1 John 5:12, "Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." Do you think people who follow Buddhism, Mormonism, Hinduism, Islam, do they have life? Maybe they're alive. Maybe they're thriving. In their eyes, they're thriving. Because Satan comes as an angel of light, my friends. It may appear good, but their soul is lost. Therefore, they do not have life. They do not have eternity in Christ. And this isn't about heaven and hell. This is about freedom, life. I knew Jesus when I was younger. I knew him when I got married. I knew him during my marriage. I knew him after my marriage. I had a relationship with Jesus. But I was not surrendered to him. I wanted my way still. I wanted the guy I wanted. I wanted the career I wanted. I wanted the family to be accepting of me. I was going to be who I needed to be. And same with my friends. I lost an entire friend circle. Guys, like 8 to 10 people. For the first time ever, I had friends. I felt like I was cool. I was finally that girl. But do you know what every time felt like when they left? I would feel so empty. They would mock my faith. And I was told I was the tolerable Christian because I didn't, you know, judge them and say anything to them about their sin. They were all in the community and had different belief systems. My pastor called me salt and light in my friend circle. But when push came to shove, I went out and I got severely hurt. If you remember my testimony about the surrender, I got severely hurt in January. And then for the next few months, I dated a series of random guys that I just found on dating apps. And eventually I was assaulted. And I went out to dinner with my friends around this time, after the assault. And they told me I was hoeing around. But they were sleeping with people every weekend. I just went on dates. I didn't even kiss all of them. I wasn't being wise, no. Could you define that as being a hoe if you want to? I mean, I joke about it, like, looking back, I'm like, yeah, I was a hoe. Like, that was not a good time. But in all seriousness, like, that hurt. My friends were not there for me. What I wanted to hear that night is, Desi, we love you. We are concerned. How can we help? But they just judged me. And you guys, you non-believers out here, if I can just say one thing, stop being a hypocrite. We're not judging you. Yes, there are Christians out there that suck, and I'm not speaking on behalf of them, okay? I'm talking about the people who have good hearts, who are just trying to share the truth. We are not judging you. We love you. We are concerned. We care. And we would be doing a disservice and lying to you by not sharing that at least one time with you. Yes, I know people are guilty of saying multiple times things and Bible thumping, all those things, and I apologize on behalf of me and anybody who's done that. But I want to tell you the truth of what the scriptures tell us. Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us the new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone. or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is in God. Guys, we are just doing our job. Oh my gosh. We're just doing our job. We're just trying to warn you. We're just trying to love you. Because I will not be responsible for a soul going to hell. I will do my part. I will speak the truth, even if that is the cost of my life, a friendship, a relationship. Because your eternity matters more to me. And it always will. I just want you to be free. I want you to know what life looks like on the other side of the freedom. The sun shines a little brighter. The grass is a little greener. You know why? Because the veil is gone. The veil is gone, and you are no longer under the power of darkness. You get to walk in the power of the one and only living God, Jesus Christ. Do you know how cool it is when the God of the universe speaks to you? Have you ever experienced that? I told you I'm in a situation right now, multiple ones. I feel like I'm in battle, just to be honest. There's a war over some souls and I'm meant to fight for them. In prayer. And you can tell me I'm psychotic, it's fine, I don't care. And yesterday, from the moment I got up, I think until it was like 4 or 5 p.m. is when it stopped, one thing after another, God revealed himself. It spoke to me. It started in the morning, I got in my car, and I turned on my Pray app. I listened to this app called Pray.com. Not sponsored, obviously. I'm not that cool. And it was a sermon, because on Sundays they do sermons instead of the Bible in a Year narration. And the sermon was exactly what I needed to hear. And it was actually a prophecy, which was crazy, because I get weary about that. And there were so many confirmations, one after another. And I should say this, it actually started the night before. I'm sorry, let me go backwards. Back up. Saturday night, I had a huge breakdown. And I've not felt that level of pain. You know that sob where you just, oh my gosh, you're just heaving air. Like, it's the worst feeling. And it's something I've dreaded and I feared, which is why I've been so avoidant of pain and situations that could cause pain. But I had to willingly walk into this season accepting that I was going to have moments like that. Because it was the only way for God to do what he has to do. It was the only way for freedom. It was the only way for breakthrough. And I knew that it was going to be a sacrifice. So I was crying. I called my mom because I wanted to call someone that I shouldn't have. And my mom was able to calm my mind and help me to stop crying so hard. And I knew I needed to eat dinner, so I was trying to get better so I could eat. And I felt like I should watch The Chosen, so I did. But I'm in the middle of this episode, and I've seen it before, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to deal with this right now. Like, I just got done crying, and it's the episode where the girl with the, oh my gosh, the bleeding. I'm trying to think of the word. The discharge of bleeding of years and years and years. She gets healed by Jesus. And every time I've watched it, I just bawl, because that hits home, like, in such a way that you will probably never understand. So, I didn't know if I wanted to watch it, but I decided to go ahead and finish it, and I was eating, and this scene happened, and it tied with something the night before. And I immediately call my best friend. I'm like, buddy, what is happening? And he's like, buddy, the Lord is speaking. Just let him do it. Just let him speak. And we spent hours on the phone processing everything that I was feeling and thinking. And the Lord said so much through him that I had to literally write down and take notes what God was speaking. And that's just the beginning of it. I can't go into everything because we don't have time. That was the beginning. And then the next day, church. Again, the stuff that happened last night, the night before, tied with Sunday. And you can tell me I'm schizophrenic, that I'm, I don't know, connecting dots or whatever with the signs and stuff. Guys, there's a difference between signs and confirmation. And that day was full of confirmation. Even to the point that I was thinking something in my mind, considering something in my mind. And the Lord did something moments later about that thought in my mind. And all day, I felt like I was being overstuffed with God and hearing him. And I'm like, Lord, I'm so sorry for what I did last night. Like, I know I was upset. I know I was discouraged. I know I was scared. But you did not have to do all this. But he did. He wanted me to see, I'm with you, daughter. I love you. I hear you. I'm bottling every tear that you're crying. You're in my will. You're doing good. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. I'm with you. And I can't go into the details because it's so intricate and so special and sweet and intimate. But I'll just say that I've never seen God speak like that in my life. And I asked my friend, like, does this happen to other people? Am I just that freaking weird, that chosen, that specifically picked? Like, I'm just Desi. What the frack? Why? And he said something so simple but wise. Other people just don't want it, so they can't see it. They're not seeking him. I was accused of only caring about God, right? And I'm like, all right, so here's the thing. My entire day is scheduled around God. I literally get up in the morning, I listen to the pray app and the prayer of the day, right? And then I'm weird, okay? So I like get up, I eat breakfast, and I take a nap, meaning like go back to sleep. And then I get up, and then I have my readings through the Bible through the year. I'm doing that. I study that. I don't just read it. I study it. I take notes. And then I'm doing discipleship. I'm hosting discipleship at my house on Wednesdays. And I have to read that. And I have multiple books that I read. And I spend this lovely time in prayer just crying out to the Lord and fighting for these souls that are lost. The only time I'm not really doing anything with God, like directly, is when I'm watching The Bachelor or something. Like when I watch TV, when I just get a break from the day. And you know how amazing my life is because of that? I'm not saying this is everybody's life. Again, I don't have a normal day anyway. I don't work like a 9-to-5 or anything. So I am a special, you know, circumstance in that situation, but I am a special, what am I trying to say? My circumstances are different, you know what I mean? But my entire day is consumed with Jesus. And I get it. I get why Paul felt the way he did. When you hear Jesus, when you sit with him, you just want more. I'm not saying that, you know, everyone needs to go do 5 things a day for God. Like, I'm, you know, to study and learn all. Like, this is a season I'm in. I'm just embracing the season. I haven't always experienced this. My point is, I just simply am asking you, have you ever really gotten to hear God? Has he ever revealed himself to you? Have you asked him? You know he loves you. Even if you don't believe in him, he loves you. He died for you still. He'll answer. You just have to ask. Sometimes, to really hear God, though, to really find him, we have to seek him. Matthew 7:7-8 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open." You gotta seek him, my friend. I was in a season previous to January where I was working on discipleship, so I was reading something every day. And I would spend maybe 20 minutes, and I would read it, maybe look up some notes, have a general idea of what I was learning, and then I would pray. And it was routine. It was just every single day. My heart was still for the Lord. I was still dedicated to him. But I didn't, like, experience him as much as I wanted, and I would get so discouraged. And then one day, discipleship ended, and I was like, well, I feel like I don't have structure right now, I don't have a study, so I need to pick something. And I picked up this book, this study, a workbook on 1 Peter, and I started it immediately. And the depth of that, how it made me dig, how it made me look and seek the Lord, almost instantly, I could experience him again. And then not too long after, my world was turned upside down in December. I won't go into details. And then in that, like in the first like 2 days of that storm, I felt God again. And I believe that I needed to feel something to feel him. When my world was turned upside down, I had nothing else in me but to turn to him. I couldn't do anything else. There was no other option. God, you're the only one that can do this. You're the only one that can fix this. And in the season I'm in right now, as painful and as grieving as it feels, I know that this is going to be a season that I'm going to remember. Because I am vulnerable. I am hurting. I am grieved. And Jesus is the only one who sees it and feels it with me. He's the only one that gets it. And because I'm so sad, I just want to be with him. And you don't realize how precious these times are until you're forced to experience it. And I'm thankful. I'm just thankful that I get to sit with Jesus every day. And when the victory is won, when things are better, I'm going to continue to seek him. I've learned now that you can't just go with the season and what you feel. You seek him whether you feel it or not. I know I've gotten off track, but I'm just encouraging you to really open the Bible and actually seek him. Don't just read it as words on a page, like a checklist, like homework that you got from school. Like, actually seek and ask the Lord, reveal yourself to me in your word today. The things that were written for the Israelites could very well be spoken directly to you, and you would not catch that if you were not seeking him. The Lord speaks. And that's what I was saying earlier is, you know, my special, like, what the heck's happening? Like, he speaks to all of us, but we just aren't opened. Our eyes aren't open to see it. Or we're an unbeliever and we have the veil. The person that was sent into my life is thoroughly convinced that God is the one who gave them this belief that all paths lead to God. And that God is confirming to them every day to keep seeking that. But we're actually doing a study through the Bible together. And so my notes I put in every single day, I go through this app called Through the Word. And it breaks down every chapter of the Bible so you can always have an application no matter what you read, even if it's a genealogy, because those are rough. And I put the notes in every single day, guys. Almost every single day, like 98% of the time. God is directly pursuing my friend in such an intimate and beautiful way every single day, revealing himself to them. But the veil is so heavy. They cannot see that Jesus Christ himself is revealing himself to this person. And there are so many people like them out here in this world. God is pursuing you. God is reaching out with wide open arms. My child, come home. There's this song that I listen to probably 30 times a day, which I've never really done. But it's one of those songs that I feel speaks. And it's my prayer every day for the lost. And the chorus says, I'm waiting for you to come and find me. I'm longing for you to pull me in. I really recommend it. It's called Find Me Before It's Too Late, or Find Me, because there's two different versions, one with a female artist involved as well. And it's by John Jin Han, I believe. Just come home. He's waiting. And you who want to be found, he's trying. But you have to give yourself up. You have to let go of what you want. You have to trust and believe that he actually might love you and actually might be good to you. Let the deception fall and cease in the name of Jesus Christ. And walk into the arms of your loving Father, who has been waiting for a long time for you to come home. I was watching my show a few weeks ago, and one of the women said that the reason she didn't marry the guy that she was supposed to marry was because she believed all paths lead to God. And there's this analogy that my friend uses as well, that God is this river, this stream, and people are going up and drinking from the stream. And everyone's calling it a different thing. Some call it agua, some call it water. And so there's this idea that all religions are different languages, and we're all reaching the same God. And while as beautiful and poetic and mystic as that sounds, it's not the answer. And what's crazy about this imagery is it is exactly what Satan wants things to look like. Majestic and beautiful, poetic. Because he comes as this angel of light to deceive everyone. It's not true. To continue our discussion about this argument, also the Pope also claimed this as well, which, you know, there's something wrong with that, if you're a believer, obviously. And so I want to share with you 2 Corinthians 11. I'm not sure how long I'm going to go for, so. I hope you will put up with a little more of my foolishness. Please bear with me, for I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. I promise you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. My issue with this argument is there are literal contradictions of truth that literally say, hey, don't fall for that, in the scriptures. But people are blind. And my issue with this argument is, wouldn't that be so nice, guys? Wouldn't it be so great if everybody could just be promised eternity? That's how you know it's not true. It can't be. Because why would God have to send his baby boy, his child, his first love? You can't make sense of it. None of these gods love you. None of them have the capacity to love every single one of you, individually, personally, and uniquely. Special to each single person. Every religion is about how to get to God. Christianity, the way of Jesus, is the only one where Jesus, God, is reaching down to us, trying to reach us. And you can't deny the facts. We can go out and study every religion in the world, beginning to end, small to big. Every single one of them could be proven wrong. Jesus is the only way. So, believing the father of lies will get you nowhere, my friend. Don't fall for this lie. Don't listen to the tactics and the deception of the enemy, because all it's doing is creating bondage in your life. Causing a stronghold, keeping you from God, keeping you from freedom, keeping you from hope, keeping you from life. And my dear, you are worth life. Jesus himself says so. The reason I wanted to do this specific topic comes down to the other part of that chapter of what I just read in 2 Corinthians. Verse 25, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. I declare freedom if you are that person, in the name of Jesus. Be free. You don't have to be bound by these chains anymore. Freedom is yours, my friend. You just have to accept it. And none of these other gods, none of these other religions are the pathway to the one true, holy, living God. And while I know this is not a topic most people would probably think I would talk about or really want to hear about, I'm going to switch things up. I'm going to tell you guys the truth from the beginning to the end. And I'm not going to carry shame or embarrassment about my testimony and my stories. Yes, I know I've talked a lot about guys, because that's part of my testimony. And I've already justified, I've already explained why. I didn't have any love growing up. I didn't have a mom and a dad that wanted me. So Satan got me. He trapped me with this belief that only a man could really love me. And I had to find him if I ever wanted to be okay. And I was set free from that in 2021. And Jesus was that man. And the funny thing about Satan is he's really good at telling a half truth. He's a pro at it. Think about the garden. Did God really say you would die? That's what he asks Eve. Well, of course, God said they would die, but it wasn't the kind of death that they were thinking. There's a clip. I don't think it would get copyrighted since it's a TikTok. I don't know how that would be possible. So I hope to God that it's okay, but I'm going to insert it right here.
Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me that Jesus was the only way? Somebody lied to me and said that there are many ways to God, and I believed them, but you knew the truth!
While you might think I'm being dramatic right now, I refuse to be told that. I refuse to hear someone say what that clip just said. I will not be the one. I'm going to tell you the truth. Because I love you. I care about you. And Jesus does way more than I ever could. This belief, while it shocked me at first, I get it now. My friends, we are heading or in the end times right now. And everything that's happening in this world is literally prophesied in that book, the Bible, that you keep neglecting reading. Or want to contradict. or want to argue that it was written thousands of years ago. I asked somebody, if Christianity isn't the answer, if Jesus isn't the only way, then why do people die, get martyred in his name? Why do people die for Jesus? Nobody's dying for Buddha. Nobody's dying for Allah. And they said that it's because they want control. Like, the people that are trying to kill Christians want control. And I'm like, so what are they trying to control? They don't want you to know the truth. They're trying to keep Jesus out of it. Once you see it, you can't unsee it, guys. And the hard part about having a conversation like this with you is one day, whether you open your eyes now or not, you'll see it for yourself. And I'm praying so hard that you open your eyes before that time. Because once we reach that point, you will have to suffer if you choose Jesus. You'll go to heaven, but you will suffer. And it won't be pretty. But those who accept Jesus now on earth, before he comes back, before he resurrects his church, his people, we will not be here for that. So no, not all paths, not all religions lead to God. As comforting as that would be, it's not the truth. Jesus didn't die in vain. I wish people understood what Jesus went through on that cross. But none of us will. None of us ever will. But I've learned something recently, that the greatest thing that Jesus didn't want to go through on that cross was the separation from his Father. He got to experience hell so you wouldn't. Now, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to know a man, a God, who went through that, who experienced hell so you wouldn't? Jesus says in Luke 9:23, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If you really want a relationship with Jesus, you have to let go of yourself. But I promise you, take it from me and the millions of others who have experienced it, there is nothing like it. Your life will not be the same, and you will have joy, unshakable joy, constant hope, and all the other benefits that I mentioned earlier that I'll have to say again. It'll just be worth it. I promise you, what God has for you is so much cooler, so much better than what you could ever come up with. I want to remind you how cool our God is. Ephesians 3:20. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask, think, or imagine. I don't know about you, but that's who I want writing my story. Not me. Guys, there's a reason New Age is rising. People want control of their lives. They want to know their future. They want to be in control of what happens. But God is the only one who is actually in control. This stuff is real. And I'm going to tell you that every time I'm on here. You don't have to listen to me. But I'm going to tell you the truth until I die. I'm going to speak the truth until I die. And I hope that that's okay with you. Because I accept you. As you are, who you are. I accept you, even if we disagree. But this world, this generation, has got this messed up idea that if you do not agree with them, if you do not align beliefs with them, if you contradict them, that you do not accept them. And my friend, it is the farthest thing from the truth. No one's judging you. We're not out here not accepting people. We're out here loving people by telling them the dang truth. Because just like that clip, I'm not going to be the reason. And neither are they. We're in a war, friends. It's a battle. I won't take credit for this, but it's a quote. We are in a war. Heaven is good, hell is evil, and earth is the battlefield. The battle is for the souls of men. And so if you're one of those today, and you're lost, and you're wandering, and you're tired of being confused, angry, out of control, desiring control to an unhealthy degree, depressed, anxious, suicidal, let me encourage you. You can have freedom today. It's here, it's now, it's yours. All you have to do is believe that Jesus is the only way. He is the only one that can fix it, that can help you, that can save you. We're all sinners. We've all made mistakes. You don't got to get cleaned up to go to Him. He'll clean you up for you. He just wants you. He's waiting. And believer, if you're out here, if you're listening, can I encourage you with the boldness of the Spirit of God that lives in you? The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. You can go out here and have an impact. You can build the kingdom. All you have to do is share your story, your testimony, your truth. That's all you have to do. You don't have to preach. You don't have to start a podcast. You don't have to write a book. You don't have to get a TikTok. Just share Jesus and who He is to you. Oh, and I wanted to say, if you're one of these people who've struggled with this belief, this bondage, this stronghold. The friend that I was telling you about, we're going through the Bible in a year together, and I know I just now thought about it that maybe that's probably sounded weird to you when I said that because they don't believe Jesus is the only way, right? But no, they believe that Jesus is the only way for them. But everyone else, it could be otherwise. And they are completely convinced that this is God doing this. And so they are seeking a counterfeit Jesus. They are praying to a counterfeit Jesus. And they don't mean to. They're so deceived. And it's not their fault. The darkness is so heavy. But Jesus himself says, "Everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven." If you deny the fact that Jesus is the only way, if you say that's not true, then you're not serving Jesus Christ. And it's okay that you got confused, that you fell for the deception. So many people are and will, because of the times we're in. The spirit of the Antichrist is out here working overtime. Anything anti-Christ is of the Antichrist. And he's doing the work of Satan by the power and authority of Satan himself. So you're the victim. It's okay, love. But you are responsible for accepting freedom, for accepting Jesus Christ as the only way, as your Lord and Savior. That part you are responsible for. So please, my socials are out here. Message me if you have any questions, if you need help, if you need prayer, if you just need someone to talk to about this. I'm here. I believe this is a rising thing, and I want it debunked before it even starts. So please don't hesitate to reach out. I will tell you the truth, though, just like I've said in here. I love you enough to tell you the truth. I want to thank you guys for taking the time to listen to this. I want to thank you for seeing the real truth of reality of the life we're living. And taking the time to listen to real stuff. Because you could have watched a silly sitcom. Or listened to some album of some artist that's not feeding your soul. But you decided to sit here and listen to me. Coming to you from a state of just honesty and grief. So thank you. I think I've said everything I wanted to say. It ended up being a lot shorter than I expected it to be. I usually have like 2-hour pods, so I'm wondering if it's just because of the audio. It's very interesting. Interesting thought. Well, technically I usually have 2 topics too. This time we just had 1. Thank you again for your time. I'll be praying this reaches the right souls. And I appreciate anyone who hears me and hears truth and sees it. Because your proof, your evidence that I gotta keep doing this, that it's real, And no matter how many people want to accuse me of being delusional or paranoid or having religious psychosis, I gotta keep telling the truth. So thank you. I always forget my little thingy. I don't really know if it's appropriate to say I'll see you since we're gonna be just doing this now. But I don't really know what else to say. I'll talk to you next time? I don't know. So, whatever. Have a great day, night, whatever time it is. And I will see or talk to you next time. Bye, guys.